The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Claire O'Keefe, good morning to you, Claire.
Good morning, Ryan, and thank you for your call.
It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. You are a farmer, a mediator and a tutor. Let me ask you about the mediator aspect of that, because I suspect that's probably where the pertinence lies this morning.
Well, mediation is a skill, and one I trained as a mediator, and it's a skill that's applicable really for any challenging conversations arise.
Yes, that's for sure.
And it's a good skill to have if you're working in the area of farm succession facilitation and farm succession planning.
One of the greatest TV shows of the last couple of years was Succession, based on a media empire, but at a global scale. But you got a sense of the almost military-like intricacies and struggles within a family to try and outplot and outhatch and outdo and outrun and outfox the others to get to the big prize. And the distinct lack of love is remarkable.
It can be, but yet families do have a desire to stay connected and to maintain family harmony. Generally, women, especially mothers, say, we want harmony, we want peace, whatever the outcome is.
We've been hearing some of the, Claire, I don't know if you've heard the emails and texts in the last day or two, but certainly you can see sometimes in a scenario, where the parents are left a bit bewildered by the mess that's unfolding before them, and they either choose to ignore it or they see it and can't deal with it.
And that's, yes. Generally, Ryan, when succession planning is a process.
Sure.
It's not just an event that one thinks about when one is in their latter years. It's a process. It needs to be begun in a timely manner. And I suppose the secret really is just open conversations at home around the kitchen table. If there is a farm here, it's a business perhaps for one person. And realistically, like, it can only perhaps be maintained by one, even if one can be the successor from that family unit. And, you know, sometimes if there's just one, a family with one child, mm-hmm. they may feel we've no option but to be the successor, and they may wish to do something else. So that can also be a challenge in families, where the one person who will be the owner of the asset may not want to be the actual farmer. So giving them the freedom also to do something else, while they can be the owner of the farm, is another conversation that can sometimes be pushed under the mat.
Let me ask you, because I don't know, so I'm going to come from scratch, and I'm sure a lot of farmers will be saying, how can you be so stupid? But forgive the ignorance of the question, but I will ask you, as a city boy, what is the law of the land in terms of, let's say there's a family, mum and dad at the top, typically enough, and then down below you have, say, three sons and two daughters, the oldest being a son. Does the oldest son get everything? Is that still going, or is that a throwback?
I would like to say it's a throwback, but there may be assumptions and expectations, and that's what needs to be addressed. What are the assumptions in this family? What are the expectations? So addressing the assumptions of the parents and the expectations of the parents, and then asking the children, if they're adult children, you know, what are the expectations in this family? And you mentioned earlier on about a daughter who felt that she wasn't coming into the discussion of as perhaps ever being the potential owner of a family farm. And just looking at gender issues, you know, there may be a bias here. So just addressing that.
Mm. Yeah, but it sounds like arguably the most patriarchal structure. And I mean that not in a sort of 21st century sense, but actually almost in a 20th century, and 19th century, but a very patriarchal structure that says father, son, father, son, father, son, ad infinitum.
Well, it is the most traditional of professions. Research has shown that it does transfer within the family of all professions.
And as a farmer, is that a bad thing, Claire? I'm asking, I suppose, a personal question now, but what's your thought on that?
If there is somebody within the extended, it can be the immediate family or the extended family, who wishes to pursue farming, you know, by all means bring them into the conversation. But one doesn't have to feel that one is obliged to.
So what I'm asking you, I suppose, in some ways, you're, as a mediator and a farmer, you're perfectly positioned to answer this question because you know both sides of the table in every sense. If we come into you as a family, myself, two brothers, two sisters, I would sit down and we'd say, right, the folks want to hand the family farm to our oldest brother, but the rest of us feel that that's really unfair because we get nothing having worked away on the farm as kids all our lives until we're 18. And we just want to know, can you help us here? Because the father wants to hand it to the oldest son, but the rest of us feel that's a grotesque injustice. So how do you help us?
Well, I thank you for taking the initiative and contacting me. However, the asset is owned by your parents, assuming that they are your parents.
Yes, they are.
And that they are together as a couple.
Yes.
And if they're both alive, that's really wonderful because one may be, you know, a widower, and they may be suffering from a bereavement, and that can complicate things too. So what I say is the assets are owned by your parents. If they are mentally compassmentous and capable of having a conversation, we'll start with your parents. They are the asset owners, so it begins with them.
But I'm going to cross you rudely and say, but our father is an immovable rock. He's saying there is no movement. It's my way or the highway.
Okay, so if your father has a will made, that's one question. If he has no will made, I would inform the family, well, 2/3 will go to your mother. While I'm not a legal expert, but this is 2/3 will go to your mother and the remaining 1/3 will be divided equally between the 5 children. And if that's what he wants, that is how it will be if he has no will made. If he has a will, then we can discuss, is it appropriate? If they know what his will is. But if he's somebody who says, I'm not telling any of you what I'm doing, well, we can't, it's not my job to shift somebody in that mindset.
You can be guaranteed in this scenario, that this role play that we're doing, that the dad has written a will and the will says, oldest son, done. That's his one-line will.
And I suppose, Ryan, to be honest, a lot of people don't know what's in the will.
Mm.
And that's a bigger fear. They don't know. And the second fear then is that will could be changed. If my partner isn't acceptable to my parents, if I'm not doing exactly as they would like, there is a fear that that will could change and somebody else could change the plan that one person may believe that is the reality. And that's not unusual, that there is a fear. Wills, like we're not all going to... Some of us will live, hopefully, to be elderly, and retaining assets until one is very elderly also has implications.
Keeping the farm in the family name, it says a text, is why this goes on. And another says, I'm married into a farming family and I had no idea of the toxic dynamic that can exist in farming families. It can take all your energies to try and maintain your positivity and reasonableness and let them get on with it. It's amazing that the focus on the stories we're hearing this morning, Claire, tend to be on the negative side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably why people come to you. You don't go to somebody to mediate if you have the problem solved already.
No.
Another says, because of land and houses, I pleaded with my parents not to leave me anything, not a blade of grass, for the sake of family unity. I'm the youngest of 5 boys. Inheriting isn't worth it. I'm not sure, says another, where all these successful farms are, but I doubt there are many in the west of Ireland. I am the oldest of 2 daughters. I got signed over the farm, a small holding in recent years, but my husband and I still work 2 full-time jobs to keep things going. Trying to run a farm at the same time means we have a little family time. Now, don't get me wrong, we love living in the countryside, but it's a lot of extra work and obligation. As a mother of 4 teenage sons, as another in a farming family, it's a constant worry for me that our family will be divided by the inheritance fallout. My husband doesn't speak to his brother because of land inheritance, and I do not want history to repeat itself. We have 2 sons interested in continuing on. I hope and pray that our family can stay united through all of this. What is the most common issue that comes up in terms of mediation, Claire, when it comes to the land?
Well, if it has reached the stage of where communication is broken down.
Yes.
But then we're reacting to a situation. But if people can be proactive and say, we just want help to work through some minor issues that are bubbling under the surface at the moment, then we have more opportunities to work with. So what are the main concerns? Realising that a farm is a very valuable asset, by and large, but the income of the farm doesn't reflect the value of the asset. And there is also, like, worth doesn't really come into it. It's identity as a farmer, and it's a farmer on that farm. That is, historically, that means a lot to people, that they are the farmer on that farm.
So
sometimes I would say, well, would you consider farming somewhere else in Ireland? And some, quite often, some people would say, no, it would be on my home farm where I was reared, where my father was reared, my grandfather or grandmother. Yeah. So there's an attachment to place.
I can understand that. I mean, I can. I feel that that sounds like something, it sounds like a strange thing to say, but I can see a kind of a spiritual connection to the yeah. land with all those ancestors' hands yeah. on those walls and that grass and all yeah. that. You know, is that completely airy-fairy thing to say? Or
no, it's very, very real, Ryan. It is real. And people, you know, that sense of coming home.
Yes.
And you mentioned earlier on about somebody who went home to the west of Ireland. So home was where they grew up, and it was in a rural area.
Mm.
And knowing that community, that still is very, very, very real and very important, and equally to be identified as that. So,
how many sisters did you have growing up, Claire?
Well, I still have them, thank God.
Oh, go on. Yeah, well, I meant growing up and on into the future. Go on.
Yes, I have five sisters, and I am the fourth.
And any brothers?
No.
And was it your family farm?
It was my dad's, yes, and my mother's.
Yes. Oh, I'm fascinated to know then how Claire, are you the favourite, or are you the most agricultural, or was there a discussion? Was there talk of divvying it up, or?
Well, growing up,
or mind my own business, I should say.
Growing up in the year that we grew up in, there was our help was always required outdoors. So from a young age, it was you could opt to help to do whatever, whether it was picking stones or feeding calves or
yeah.
bedding down calves. So we were all called on duty
yeah.
as we grew up. And I just loved it. I loved being outside with my father. I just loved it. Once my legs were long enough to drive the tractor, I was driving a tractor. And yeah, I love the land. Even this morning now, I was out before I came on here. Yeah, I had some work that I had to do.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's a wonderful gift to be gifted a family farm.
And did you have a very peaceful transition in terms of parents to daughter?
Well, it was gradual. It was a process, you know, from
okay.
in my own case, it was a process. It was not just a single event. It was in stages over my life. And as I pursued my education, it was a process, and a planned, slow process, to be honest. But it has worked out well.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a textbook case on how to do it.
Oh, gosh. Well, fortunately, I'm so fortunate, my mother is alive and
yeah.
well and cocooning. And you know, she comes out just to our house. We're in her bubble. And it's wonderful that she comes out and just walks around
yeah.
and still loves the land and loves the fresh air, as she says. So, Kitty, yeah, we always appreciate very much her input in our lives.
Of course. Actually, it sounds like you have a sussed, to use the expression. A text says, my mother has always had favourites and she's played us against each other. She's giving out assets before she dies in such a sneaky and unfair way, and it's so hurtful. I haven't said how hurt I am because I know I'll be portrayed as greedy myself, or I'll be gaslit. It damages relationships because the end result is silent resentment and damaged sibling relationships. All I want is transparency and fairness, which seems to be catchwords for you, Claire.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, as obviously that lady's mother is elderly, and one has to be mindful of their ability of clarity of thought as one is getting older. In understanding what's going on, while she may wish to please all of her children and giving away things and sometimes even promising things to one person and giving them to another, that all can be quite hurtful. So even as a family, if they can get together and have a conversation to say, look, while our mother is doing this, you know, is she fully aware of what she's actually doing?
Yeah.
Because the hurt and the pain that it's causing other family members, and just to identify it, because maybe they can help each other. In supporting each other
mm.
while their mother is making decisions like this.
Yeah, we heard a lot of that in the correspondence, Clara, of mothers and fathers, particularly mothers, because that was the weighting on it, using potential inheritance as a ploy to curry favour or to punish.
Yes, and there's a huge amount of research on... as I say, someday, son, this will all
someday,
be yours.
Son,
and it
yes,
may
yes.
never, never happen.
Yes.
And somebody is waiting, hoping, and it may never happen. And then that leads to horrendous family challenges, and
mm.
communication can really break down horrendously. So a promise is not a fact. You know, we have to deal with facts. Emotions tend to dominate, but we have to deal with what are the facts here.
Yeah. The son, says the text, who stays at home... to farm a dairy farm, work 7 days a week, often 12 hours a day, and more often having finished school at 16, he earns his inheritance, says one. I'm delighted, says another, this subject is up for discussion. I'm from a large family, brought up on a small family farm. Growing up, it was never questioned. The farm was always going to one of the boys. The boys were never allowed work inside the house, yet the girls were supposed to help inside and outside the home. I was pulling calves from cows from as young as I can remember. My father died when I was 18, and an older brother then inherited the farm. The rest of us siblings, we supported our mother to stay and live in a bungalow until she died. And when she died, I was not allowed to have friends back to the home I loved and grew up in. Family dynamics and enmeshment is rife in Ireland. I'm surprised more cases aren't taken against inheritance decisions and that the farm has to go to a son, yet the girls are used as unpaid labour until it's time to get independent and leave home. Also, there was no dowry given to anyone else, and the son then inherits everything, not even a site to build a house, and if you wanted a site, you'd have to buy it. I'm glad this topic's now been given voice, as it's rife in Ireland for so long. The violence of silence. And that's just another slice of what's happening out there. Mary says, I know there's huge injustice in some families, but surely that happens in all walks of life. As a farming family all my life, I can vouch for the hard work, the hard knocks, the risks taken and fallout from all kinds of matters, from weather, disease and financial outside control. It's a given you work 7 days a week. Might get you a couple of days once a year if you're lucky for a small break and always on call. So Ryan, it's no walk in the park and usually only one income. So decisions have to be made. And it's all about early preparation, not leading others to unrealistic expectations. And I think we did this successfully, giving to one son, and everyone was happy as we did everything possible for the others. And the family is very close. So that's a good news story there in the middle of it all, Claire.
It is. And it's really important that people reach out and ask for help and guidance. And not to rush into making any big decisions, especially legal decisions, because they're very difficult to reverse. And if it's their agricultural advisor through Chagask or a private consultant, just start that conversation. Put it out on the table, because none of us are going to live forever. We're only custodians as we're passing through. So it is an issue for every asset owner.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
It's every farming family has to make a succession plan.
And I'm just listening to the show, says the text regarding the farms, and I have several thoughts. I'm an eldest son. I inherited the family dairy farm. I have several siblings. I have sympathy for families where this causes problems. Thankfully, mine were understanding. It's another good news. So let's say the farm was divided, he says. Then it becomes unviable for everyone. The margins in farming don't allow for one to buy out the other. In my case, I work 7 days a week. I look at my family members off at the weekends and on their holidays. And yes, I have a sizable asset, but all I'm doing is looking after it to pass to the next generation. So yep. I suppose it depends on the farm, the nature of the farm. They're all so individual, isn't it? It simply isn't a one-size-fits-all argument here.
No, it's not. And that's what's unique about this whole conversation.
Because, yes.
You know, the model that will work for one family won't work for another. Siblings will be different. There may be somebody with special needs or limited ability who needs support going forward. So every family and every farm are unique and different.
Claire, it's been good to talk to you. I was very keen to hear a voice who knows the land far better than I do. So thank you very much indeed. I'm curious about one thing. When you went out to the land before you spoke to us this morning, what did you do?
Well, the weather of the last few days had been horrendous.
Okay.
Prior to that, it was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I had left out cattle to graze because I had grass ready for them, and I have good dry land, which might be the envy of some people who are waterlogged at the moment.
Okay.
So I left out cattle, but I had to bring them back in when the weather got bad last week. So this morning, I left them back out. So I had to just change hats to come on the radio.
All in the morning's work, Claire.
All in the morning's work, but it's wonderful. It's beautiful.
It actually does sound gorgeous as a way to spend a day, no doubt about it, but it's a tough life too, I get that. Claire, it's been lovely to talk to you. The best to you, to your sisters and to your mammy and everyone close to you, and have a lovely St. Patrick's Day.
Good.
Okay, and that's Claire O'Keefe joining us on the line there with her take on all things farming. And as again, the messages are coming in quicker than we can keep up with, but such is the nature of this topic. It's intriguing.